coming up on today's Family.ie radio magazine.
Sometimes in our relationship with the people we love, they can touch on that sensitive thing of the hurt in the past, and then we can overreact. And sometimes we have to look at, why do we overreact?
We'll share some tips on how to handle conflict constructively rather than destructively. We'll hear more about that in a moment. And stay with us for more about those of us in the tough love camp.
Even unintentionally, they can communicate an aloofness or a lack of need for other people, and suddenly that pushes people away. So if that's your natural bent, we have to look at that for ourselves and say, I need to maybe do something about that.
The team will look at a few very practical ways we can find that balance. And in our third segment today, how to implement consequential learning with the kids in your care.
Executive parenting is kind of sitting in the middle of that seesaw. And there's a nice, healthy balance between giving and taking. Not being too strict, but also being strict enough to maintain a structure.
That's all ahead on today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. Welcome once again to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston. If you're preparing for marriage, these programmes, Marriage by Design, are for you. You'll find the free podcasts and other resources to help your family thrive on our website, family.ie. That's www.family.ie. We talked about how conflict within marriage can actually be a good thing. Of course, how it's handled is the key. So, Heather, what are some ways to prevent disagreements from becoming destructive?
Well, there are four tips that we could give that help people to deal with conflict in a healthy way. The first one really is, don't try to sort things out late in the evening when you're tired or when you're about to go out somewhere. Now, this is a classic one for me, because in the evenings when I'm thinking about things, that's a great time to pick up something. But actually, it's a really bad idea. So I tell myself that when I tell you that. Secondly, avoid exaggerating in using words like you always or you never. Mm-hmm. It's never the truth, but always and never are just to be avoided. And thirdly, try not to bring up past hurts or past issues. Dealing with the subject in hand, just that is all you need to deal with. You don't need to bring everything else up from the last 20 years. And fourthly, try to resolve the argument rather than win it. And sometimes you have to agree to disagree about things. So it's about resolution and not about winning the argument.
And sometimes, you know, the way when we get a wound and there's a sore there, and sometimes in our past we can actually have been hurt. And that's like a raw spot. And sometimes in our relationship with the people we love, they can touch on that sensitive thing of the hurt in the past. And then we can overreact. And sometimes we have to look at, why do we overreact? Obviously, there's something there that I'm still kind of trying to protect. I'm still hurt about this thing. And by talking to them, we process it better and we understand it. And it becomes a smaller issue in some ways as well by talking to someone we love, rather than it becomes much bigger when it's bouncing around in our head sometimes. But when you talk it out, it kind of releases it a bit and it becomes more something that we can look at a little bit more in perspective.
When that, let's say that hurt, Alan, has arisen between me and Margaret or yourself and Diane, well, then we come on to the whole central thing that's vital in marriage, is that there's forgiveness. We may have effectively and sometimes unintentionally or unconsciously suppressed something for a long time, but it has maybe been brewing. But when you have that problem, you recognize that, then it's time to not pretend that it isn't there, but to actually deal with it. And married couples have to understand the vital need for forgiveness in the course of their relationships, because this is two imperfect people who are quite different from each other, and we need to be able to help one another, because we're on the same team, to make our lives far richer and far more valuable. And by, if you like, journeying through some of those conflict areas and some of those difficulties together, strengthens the marriage and strengthens the relationship. And if you get over the hurt, that can help you to have a great future.
One thing about the hurt is discovering the meaning of it for your partner. What does it mean? What did it mean? Something like, at one point they touches on something, a feeling of left out, being anxious, a fear. And in understanding the meaning of the hurt, often it can make more sense. And then forgiveness can come. I'm sorry. And then it can be put down. But until the meaning of the hurt has been, the partner, or you feel it's been understood, then that's a really good place for forgiveness and for healing to come in.
Quite often, too, research demonstrates that quite often after moments of conflict are some of the most tender and intimate moments of your physical relationship as well. And as it takes the whole relationship and can take the whole relationship to a whole new height, which didn't exist before. So it's one less area that you have to manage, as it were, in your relationship. And it's liberating because of that.
Sometimes through the actual kind of tough times when someone's exposed a pain in their life to the person that they love, they see that pain. They see the person for who, you know, in all their kind of exposedness, if you like. And that's taking out layers and growing deeper into their relationship together in love and understanding.
Of course, the supreme proponent of that is God himself. Mm-hmm. He sees into the parts of our heart that we daren't even expose to our husband or wife, perhaps sometimes. And he knows how to deal with that hurt. But out of the security of a committed relationship, you can begin to explore all sorts of areas which you wouldn't dare do otherwise. And that includes in the spiritual area. So if you have a relationship with God and you understand how much he loves you, then you can dare to open up to him and he can do amazing things.
We sincerely believe that. And there are many, many people who are living proof. As a matter of fact, if you head over to family.ie, click on Hope Story. There you'll find the story of Stan John.
A group of people I worked with decided I was the individual they knew in common that was least likely to be Christian. The things I was doing, the things I practiced, could not have allowed a long, productive life, much less than a long life at all. And I was suffering. I was sick of life. I was desperate. I know what dysfunctionality is. I know what brokenness is. I know what addiction is. I know what hurt and anger is. And from those trials, I now have been given a mission to assist and serve others as they find their way out of it.
Again, hear more about the radical change that occurred in Stan's life. Simply click on Hope Story when you go to family.ie. This is family.ie radio magazine, and if you'd like to weigh in on the discussion at some point, our text comment line is 086-251-6886, or email us anytime, info@family.ie. That's 086-251-6886 or info@family.ie. We need to take a quick break right now, but coming up next...
Certain personality bends can set up barriers to soft side love. And we've talked about the lions and beavers who share some characteristics. They both like to accomplish things. They like it done right. And in both cases, they're more comfortable with distance than with closeness.
So keep it tuned right here for more on today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. Welcome once again to today's edition of Family.ie. As we continue today's radio magazine programme, we turn now to another article, TNT for Dynamite Relationships, based largely on the book by John Trent and Gary Smalley called The Two Sides of Love. You can find more information about the book and other resources to help your family thrive on our website, family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Here's Ger.
So depending on our inclination then, we may experience a certain degree of difficulty in relating to the soft side or the hard side. And because of that, we may be immunizing ourselves to great benefits that people on the other side, we will say, may have for us if we can sensitize ourselves to them.
Well, certain personality bends can set up barriers to soft side love. And we've talked about the lions and beavers who share some characteristics. They both like to accomplish things. They like it done right. And in both cases, they're more comfortable with distance than with closeness. You know, lions lead towards distance in relationship, mostly because they fear being controlled. They like to be in charge. And the beavers can do this too. They can communicate quite a high level of emotional distance, which can suggest or convey a lack of emotional attachment and warmth. So we need to just be aware of that. If that's our natural tendency, those are kind of the vibes we might be giving people. Even more than lions, in fact, beavers are more comfortable with distance in a relationship. And in an extreme case, a beaver would enjoy distance between themselves and their spouse. And you might say, well, how could that be? But the beaver's quite happy with that. He likes the person around, but not too close. In other words, like, give me my space kind of thing. And you can feel very threatened by that if you're married to a beaver and you don't understand that. You might begin personally to feel rejected or, you know, isolated. So it's important that you understand your partner or who you're spending a lot of your time with. And out-of-balance beavers can communicate. Even unintentionally, they can communicate an aloofness or a lack of need for other people and something that pushes people away. So if that's your natural bent, we have to look at that for ourselves and say, I need to maybe do something about that because my poor wife or husband thinks I'm ignoring her or abandoning her. In fact, you're quite comfortable and delighted with your relationship, but it can cause problems. And the interesting thing is that these hard-sided lions and beavers tend to actually gravitate towards the soft-sided otters and golden retrievers. And, you know, the otters and golden retrievers have as strong a natural desire to move closer to people as the lions and beavers have to distance themselves. So if we look and acknowledge that, we stand a chance of actually doing something about it and not isolating ourselves or bringing unnecessary difficulties into a relationship. If we don't allow people to come close to us, physically and emotionally, we'll fail at communicating soft side love. They'll fail as well. Nobody, there'll be no soft side in the love. People need enough independence to be able to stand on their own 2 feet, but we need also enough physical and emotional closeness to communicate warmth and love. And I think that's the real issue, to be able to provide people with their own space and their own independence, while at the same time communicating strength in your warmth and closeness. And that's quite a balancing act. That's quite challenging.
So is it a matter then of combining both? Will that work? Or is it a matter of opening up to?
And Dr. Gary Smalley gives the example of his son was being coached by a man who was very hard-sided lion, and he was always very tough in giving the feedback. Some of the best players he had in his team were golden retrievers, great team players, made a huge difference to the team. But with this very strong lion, they were put off, they were offended, they left the team. And he came alongside him and said, look, have you ever considered the impact that your lion behaviour, he didn't use that phrase at the time, has on these golden retrievers, as we'll describe them in this conversation? And he hadn't thought about it. And he said, look, I'm really struggling because we're about to start a new season, I need some help. And he explained this to him, and the upshot of it was that he softened his approach. And so even though the coach and the team did very well afterwards and won a state championship, and what the hard-sided, driven strengths that he brought to the team, when they were softened by putting his arm around the player's shoulder and saying, well, look, you messed up in this, that and the other, but you're still a major contributor to the team and I appreciate the effort that you're making, then the combination of that second piece, which was a soft-sided piece, added to the hard side, which was factual and task-oriented, produced a great outcome. And those guys rejoined the team and played their part. And that's what we're trying to say, Ger, is that you may be task-oriented, you may be hard-sided. That may be your real strengths, but soften it with an expression of tenderness. And he said, you know, close it off with 30 seconds of tenderness and you get a world of a difference.
It's possible then to make hard decisions and to relate from that stance, let's say the hard side of love, in a gentle way that connects with the people who tend towards the soft side of love.
Yeah.
Taking into account their orientation, we will say, or their inclination, we actually set up a basis for communication. And our strengths become helpful and useful to them. They're able to receive it when we, as let's say the strong love people, take the time to understand how they operate and actually make the connection. I know that if I were a strong, let's say a beaver, I might want to demand that these people I might consider weak, but actually not weak, just different, with different types of strengths that I don't readily connect with. If I make a demand that they come to me, then I don't think anything will happen.
Yeah.
And I'm taking that from what you're saying. So the important thing is the hard love person must learn to be sensitive to and to become aware of, and really also to receive soft love. because that person, that coach you were talking about, I'm sure he appreciated afterwards, once he learned and discovered this, that his team, who were inclined towards a soft love, were able to respond to him in a new way. And that actually made a wonderful connection.
Yes, and what that coach did was he met the needs of the boys who were on the soft side in terms of their orientation, and their desire was for relationships. And what he was saying to the boys was that he valued them and their need for feelings, if you understand what I mean. That was never said, but it was understood in the way in which he engaged with them. So he met their needs rather than his needs. And in meeting their needs, he released them to become all that they could be.
Yeah, I suppose some coaches might be afraid that if they softened up, they might lose the respect of their team. But then again, if they don't soften their approach, they might very well lose their team altogether. This is Family.ie Radio Magazine. Stay tuned after the break as we explore our How to Drug-Proof Your Kids training course.
A lot of this is around structure that you can hang your parenting on. So when the issues do arise, you have a plan on which you can fall back on.
Some very practical ways to implement consequential learning with the kids in your care on today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. Welcome once again to our Family.ie Radio Magazine.
The permissiveness, the kids rebel. But duh, if you bring up kids in an authoritarian manner, guess what? They rebel. So okay, wise one from the Southwest, what's the answer? The answer is what we shared in Ephesians 6. There's balance. It's the authoritative parent. God didn't put you on this earth to be run over by your kid. Your 17-year-old son says to you, get off my case, get out of my life, give me space, chill out, back off, don't have a cow, man. An hour and a half later, the same 17-year-old kid comes in and says, hey, Dad, yeah, can I use the car? Well, I'd love to help you, son, but right now I'm out of your life. Now, why does that sound good to you? Because you know God didn't put you on this earth to be run over by him. You know?
Dr. Kevin Lehman on Focus on the Family. One of Kevin's famous sayings is, don't be afraid to give your kids a healthy dose of vitamin N, which means no. But being a healthy authority over your kids isn't only about saying no. There's actually a balance that can quite easily be found. Here to explain more about that, over once again to Stephen, Heather, Jer and Paul.
How does that work? How does the parent begin to manage this whole area of the child being handed more responsibility? Clearly then, if that is happening, the child must also have defined for it the consequences, the accountability, the discipline that goes with accepting that responsibility. How does that get worked out?
Jer, in a healthy situation where drugs prevention is a priority, control should be handed over to the children when they prove to be responsible. The underlying principle is that the children learn to be responsible so they can protect themselves. And then parents, they have less need to protect. Now, young children, they need protection because they're very easily victimised. But as children, as they grow older, they should learn to prevent themselves becoming victims. So a very valuable tool, which is integral in the programme and will really define the success or failure of you as a parent, is this idea of consequential learning. And consequential learning means, as the name suggests, consequential, which is consequence with a sequence. So a lot of this is around structure, of trying to put a structure in place, a format that you can hang your parenting on. So when the issues do arise, you have a plan, you have a format, you have a structure on which you can fall back on. And you're not just flying off the handle, but you've also got something, there's a depth, you're operating out of a depth. What does that mean? Well, it's very, very simple. Every Friday night, your child has to do the dishes, yeah? Because that's part of their routine, yeah? So your child all of a sudden decides to tidy up the back garden. As a consequence of your child showing a bit of initiative, tidying up the garden, they don't have to do the dishes on Friday night. Let's have a look at another one of them. So on Tuesday, when your child comes home from school, instead of throwing their bag on the floor or leaving their sports gear in disarray, they actually manage to keep it tidy. So what do you do? Okay, so you give them an extension to their curfew. Instead of having to come in at 8:30 at night on Friday, they can come in at 9:00. So that's what consequential learning is about. And with these kind of processes, what you're doing is you're reinforcing the type of behaviour that you want, that you need to see your child perform, yeah? Mm-hmm. And again, it sounds like a very technical thing there, but it's very, very practical. So you're giving goodies and taking away goodies if the behaviour is poor.
So within the programme, the parents are instructed and trained in how to put together this framework for within which the children can be reinforced in desirable behaviour. And I get the idea that the more they learn to act correctly, the more responsibility we can give them. And this encourages them even more in the right direction in which they should be going.
Well, if you have the permissive parenting style will be, there'll be an absence of structure.
Yes.
And if you have the authoritative parenting, you will have too much structure.
Yes.
So executive parenting is kind of sitting in the middle of that seesaw, and there's a nice healthy balance between giving and taking, and also not being too strict, but also being strict enough to maintain a structure. So the child automatically learns that on Friday night at 7:00, there's not a big blazing row about them doing the dishes. That's the expectation. So you set the tone and you manage the environment around that. And that's a huge relief often to parents.
And Dr. Kevin Demon, who's one of our heroes, if you like, in our work as folks in the family, that he says, expect the best and you'll get the best, because children tend to live up to the expectations we have of them. So if we expect them to be on time, to do their homework, you know, to fit in as part of the family, that's probably what will happen. And if we expect something else from them that's not as good as that, well, then that's probably what will happen as well. So, you know, as Paul has just said, you know, the parents' responsibility is to manage that environment so that you get great outcomes. That means you do have to work at it. And part of the programme is to equip parents so they become good executive parents rather than permissive or authoritarian, which produce negative outcomes by comparison with the executive style.
Now, when was the last time as a parent you described yourself as a domestic executive? Just a reminder that this particular series is based on our in-depth training course. You can find out more about it at family.ie. And as Stephen mentioned, Dr. Kevin Lehman is one of our heroes. You can find out more about his latest book, along with free audio downloads of some of our previous radio programmes based on his material, on our website. There you'll find Bringing Up Kids Without Tearing Them Down.
4 key causes for misbehaviour. The first being to gain attention. The second, to use power and to control. The third, to avoid pressure and expectations. And the fourth, to seek revenge.
Have a new kid by Friday.
When you change your attitude, the best thing that we can guess is that your kid will automatically change their attitude.
And responsible kids, from how to wow.
In the teenage years, the feelings factor is much greater, if you like, and needs more attention, more of the parents' attention, than it does at any other stage in raising children. And also the possibility of conflict with the parent is also greater. So managing ourselves is actually pivotal.
Those programs and much more at www.family.ie. You've been listening to today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. All of the features and programmes you've heard about today simply would not be possible without the generosity of our supporters. So a big thanks to you for helping us as we help strengthen individuals and families throughout Ireland. We'd love to hear from you, by the way. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886, or email us radio@family.ie. That's 086-251-6886, or radio@family.ie. So until next time, on behalf of Stephen Carty and our entire team, I'm Ronan Johnston. Slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to Family.ie.